And we'll start in Psalm 65. Psalm 65. And the young ladies can go with Miss Wilma. Psalm 65. And the rest of us turning into mostly the book of Psalms tonight. Psalm 65. It's a lot of problems in our lives, a lot of problems in the world. And I don't know what everybody else in the world is going to turn to. I don't know what they're going to try to give them satisfaction and peace. Let me encourage you not to do what a lot of people will do, because it won't satisfy and it won't bring happiness. And it'll probably cost a lot too. But what we can do, and what we should have already been doing, but what we can continue to do, and what we need to do more of, is prayer. Just praying. And so I just want to give you some points tonight about praying and the need for praying. Psalm 65 and verse number 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. The first point that I want to give you tonight in prayer is the point of coming. It is necessary that we come to Him. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And prayer is involves coming. Now, if you think that God's supposed to come to you, you've got the wrong idea of who's the God and who's not. Okay? Now, God does love us, and there are times when God has come to us. But you know what? Prayer involves us coming to Him. And it's a real privilege to be able to pray. And do you realize that if you're saved tonight, and probably everybody in this room is saved, do you realize that you get to come to God? Do you know people that can't come to God? They don't know how to come to God. They don't know how to talk to God. The only thing they do is accuse God of not being nice. And they don't understand God. But you and I have the ability, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, we can come boldly to the throne of grace and to obtain mercy. And I know we were teasing Larray about asking for things, you know, because she's, oh, I just don't like to ask for things. You know what? When it comes to prayer, you better learn how to ask for things, because that's what prayer is all about. Oh, I don't want to bother God. He's so busy. I know He's not. All right? But God's got other people to take care of that are way more important than I am. Well, maybe so, but you know what? He's your Heavenly Father. And we miss this in our house. We miss the little kids asking and coming. You know? We miss them coming to us for their problems. And having a need that we can fix. Chapter 88, verse 2, and then chapter 102. 88, verse 2, let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. Chapter 102, verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Now, here's the thing. If I wanted to meet with the President of the United States tomorrow, I couldn't do it. If I wanted to meet with him next month, I couldn't do it. But I can meet with God tonight, and I can meet with him again tomorrow night, and I can talk to him again the next night. I mean, think about it. We have the privilege of going and coming to him, and it's also our command. We're supposed to do it. And so if we're not doing it, we're avoiding ourselves of the blessing of coming. Now, I understand why your unsaved friends and family don't come to God, because they don't think that he's going to listen. They don't have him as a father like you do. But I don't understand why you and I don't always come to him. And there's so many things in our life that we have issues. I mean, just little things, big things, in between things. We've all got things right now that we should be coming to God for. But usually what we do is we try to do it ourselves and fix it on our own without him. Just like as your child gets older and they start to get independent and they think they can fix it without help from above. So let me encourage you, number one, to do the simple thing of coming to him. Just coming to him. And that leads to the next thing, and these are all C's, but calling. Calling. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Look at some more verses. Psalm 4:3. Psalm 4:3, and then Psalm 50. But Psalm 4:3, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. You might not believe this, but if you're saved, he hears you when you call. And if you're calling out to him, he's hearing you. And he might not sound or feel like he's hearing you right away or listening, but he is. And Psalm 50:15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. You know what? That's a promise. You could say, God, I want to read you Psalm 50:15. This is your word. You said, call upon me in the day of trouble, and you said, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. God, I promise I'll glorify you, but I want you to keep your promise. I need help. I'm in trouble. I have a problem. And you have to be open and honest before him. You have to be right before him, humble before him. But call on him. Look at chapter 55:16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. You know, that's how you got saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mean, so calling is something that started when you got saved. You called out to him. You asked him for salvation. Look at chapter 86:7. Chapter 86:7. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. And then chapter 116:2. We heard a young lady asking prayer for her mother to get saved. You know what? God says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, if that young lady was praying that God would give her a brand new sports car, I don't know that God would hear that. But if she's praying for him to save her mother, I guarantee you he's hearing that. I guarantee you he's agreeing with every ounce of that prayer. Because he says he's not willing that any should perish. So you have real confirmation when you're praying certain things to God. There's some things that we pray that we're not real sure that was really what God wanted. But I'll tell you what, when you're calling unto him and you're asking him for something you know is his will, you have some encouragement, some confidence there. Psalm 116:2, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Inclined his ear. He kind of leans his ear towards me. And I'll just keep calling. That's what prayer is. You just keep calling. I always get a kick out of Larry because he's so funny. He says he doesn't pray very well. Well, you know what he does? He talks to the Lord. I heard him pray tonight, talking to the Lord. And you know what? It was Larry. It wasn't my personality. It wasn't Dave. It was Larry. And God heard Larry praying tonight. All right? Part of Larry was praying for the widower that just lost his wife to get saved. You think God's not listening to that prayer? Oh, Larry, you didn't add enough these and thous when you said that. You think God's worried about that? Of course not. Man, just pray. And I remember years ago hearing my dad say this. I don't remember it when it happened, but he said when I was like 4 years old, they went to a Baptist church for the first time. And he heard some preaching, and he went forward at the sermon invitation, and he said, they said, what do you need, sir? And he said, I just want to learn how to pray. Are you saved? Yes, sir, I'm saved. Have you been baptized? Yes. I just don't know how to pray. And they said, well, what have you been doing? He said, well, I've just been asking God to show me how to pray. The man said, well, you've been praying, you know? And I've been asking God to show me what kind of church to go to. Well, here you are, you know? We got to stop thinking that prayer is what we see in front of everybody. That's not necessarily always prayer. You know that story of the Pharisee and the publican. And the Pharisee, he thinks he's praying this wonderful prayer. The publican's the one that was really praying. And we got to stop thinking that prayer looks a certain way. Prayer is calling out to God. Prayer is asking God. John R. Rice wrote a book called Asking and Receiving. And you know what prayer is? Prayer is asking. As you get more mature, you learn maybe more important things or more prioritized type things to ask, but prayer is asking. And when you're a young Christian, don't be afraid to ask for anything. I mean, think about it. These little toddlers that went out into the nursery, they ask for stuff that you and I, we wouldn't
ask for that.
You know why? Because we're mature. But you know what God likes? He likes us to be dependent and to ask for things and call on him. And you know what? Aaliyah won't ask me for stuff, but she'll ask Trig. I mean, Aaliyah will ask me for things. She'll always remind me that she was good and that I have candy in my office. But I guarantee you, she asks for things to her dad that she doesn't ask me. And you know why that is? She has a better relationship with her dad than she does with me. And that's what prayer is, see? Prayer is the relation. So, the better the relationship, the better the asking, the more simplistic the asking. James 4 says, you ask and receive not, or you ask not, you have not because you ask not. Or then you ask and receive not because you're asking amiss. But a lot of times, we have not because we don't ask. Someone said this, it's not so much unanswered prayer that's the problem, it's unoffered prayer that's the problem. So let's learn to call on the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Oh, I don't need to pray for that. That's so... Listen, do you need it? Is it an issue? Then ask him. Call out to him. And he might say, no, you don't need that, and then you can go on and pray for something else. But learn to ask him. Ask him for things you wouldn't think was something you should ask him for. And pray and ask the Lord for those issues and those things that come up in your life. And then the other C, there's a third C that goes along with prayer. And we go to Psalm 18, Psalm 18:6, and Psalm 18:6, and then Psalm 34. Psalm 18:6 says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Crying. You know, prayer is also crying. There are times where I'm not just calling, but I'm crying. Psalm 34 and verse 15 says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Notice the righteous. We need to be right with the Lord. Doesn't mean we're perfect, but we need to be right with him because his ears are open to their cry. Boy, I'll never forget when I was a young father, and you know, it takes a lot to be a young father. You pretty much take your wife to the hospital, and then you take home your wife and this little baby. And it's a lot of work being a father. And then, you know, once in a while you realize, oh, there's this third person in our house that needs fed. But someone feeds it. I don't know who it is, but someone feeds it and takes care of it all the time. It's just hard being a father. And one of the hard duties of being a father was rolling over in the middle of the night, and you realize your wife is awake. Whoa, what are you awake? Oh, I was just feeding the baby. Oh, was the baby crying? Yeah, I didn't know the baby was crying. Really? How'd you know the baby was hungry? He was crying. You know, it's amazing how our loving Heavenly Father hears our cry. It's funny how parents can recognize their child's cry. And there were times when the child would cry for no reason, and we would learn how to combat that. But there were times when the child would cry and there was a reason. They were hungry. Maybe they got their foot caught in the crib slat, you know, and twisted their foot around. And it's important to pay attention to their cry. And the thing about it was, if there was a storm and a thunder, boom, lightning, or some scary thing. Hannah, I can tell you this about Hannah. We'd go into the car wash and Hannah would just start crying. And just scared her to death, you know. And we knew why. She didn't necessarily speak English, but we knew why she was crying. She was scared of the car wash, all right? But you know what? When a parent hears that cry, they understand the cry. They understand. They know when the cry is not necessary. and they know when the cry is legitimate, and they hug them and hold them close and fix the problem and take care of the cry. Psalm 55 again in verse 17 this time, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. The Bible says in Psalm 147:9 that he hears the ravens cry. See, the crying is a symbol of desperation. And let me just stop and say that sometimes kids fake it. They're not desperate, all right? But we know, if we're smart enough as parents, we know when there really is a desperate situation. One of the verses that's not in Psalms that I want you to look at that I think is a great verse to talk about is that's Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. I love this verse, and I hope you do too. Romans 8 and verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Do you know that sometimes when you pray, you don't even know what to say, you're just crying? And did you know that the Holy Spirit hears that? And the Holy Spirit even understands what you're saying. He interprets the crying. There are times when the Holy Spirit of God can hear your crying and understand why you're crying. He can understand the language of your tears. In fact, the Bible says he puts all of our tears in a bottle. And so prayer is not just coming formally. It's not just calling dignified. It's crying. And there are times when we need to be humble enough to be crying. See, if you're too proud, you won't come, you won't call, and you won't admit that you're crying out to him. Don't be proud. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. We need to pray like children and be humble and not be afraid to cry to the Lord. There are times when my heart is so heavy and my heart is broken and I'm crying to God and I'm just saying, God, I don't understand, or God, I don't know what to do, and I'm just frustrated. And my Heavenly Father understands that cry. And he might even show me some things to help me so I don't have to cry. But prayer is those three things plus some more. Two more C's. Not only is it coming and calling and crying, but it's also Psalm 37 verse 5. It's also committing. The Bible says in Psalm 37 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That word commit in Psalm 37 verse 5 is the idea of rolling it on to him. Commit it on to him. The idea of taking our hands off of it. Lord, I commit it into your hands. Sometimes our problem is that we don't want to let God have it. If you're a parent and you're afraid to let God handle your wayward child, you're not committing that child to him. So what do you mean by that? I think sometimes parents get between God and the kids and like, oh no, let me handle it. And deep down we know that God will do a better job. It just might be a little painful. It might be kind of a big spanking. But you know what? You've got to, if you're going to pray, you got to let God have it. You can't hang on to it and say, God, I want you to fix it, but I'm still hanging on to it. You got to commit. Commit your way into the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. It involves taking your hands off. That's what the word commit means. Take my hands off and let God do it. We're prone to feel like we got to do something. We got to help God out. That's what Abraham did. Abraham knew that God wanted him to have a son, but Abraham tried to help God out. Doesn't work that way, you know. Hands off. Let God do it, all right? Bring a need to the Lord and then leave it there. You know, God, I'm going to show you this need I have. And we show it to him, but then we take it back, you know, because we don't trust him to keep, you know, have hold of the need. And I think of children, I think is a big one for parents and grandparents. Maybe a spouse or maybe a job or maybe just some issue. It's the recognition of my insufficiency and God's all-sufficiency. God really has the sufficiency to fix this, not me. And it's the humble admission that I can do nothing, but God can do anything. And it's the realization that it's not a risk to commit it all to God. But what if he kills it? Well, if God kills it, he never makes a mistake. And so it's not a risk. It's trusting him. He's able to do exceeding abundantly of all we ask or think. And so committing is a huge part of prayer. Because I think a lot of times that's why he's not answering it, because he can't. Because we're still hanging on to it. So committing it, letting him have it. We were in a different church the other day, and they sang one of my favorite songs. And the chorus goes like this: I found it all when I lost everything. Doesn't seem to make sense, but it's a biblical song. I found it all when I lost everything. Gave it up, let it go. All right? So, coming, calling, crying, committing, and then the last one is a lot along the same lines. It's back in Psalm 55 again, verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. If you are living a real life, and you are, then you have real burdens. Everybody in here has got burdens. Everybody in here has different weights. Our burdens are not the same. Mr. Dave's got different burdens than Mr. Pryor. And Mr. Adams has different burdens than Mr. Bruner. But we all got them. We all have a burden. We all have things that we're carrying. And prayer allows us as God's children to unload those burdens onto the Lord. Now, it's a lot like the committing, but it's just kind of unloading it and letting God have it. And, you know, when my kids were little, and I think this is good, especially for the boys, I'm going to carry the gallon of milk. I'm going to carry both gallons of milk. You know, little Sam. This was 2 years ago. No, it was longer than that. And of course, we're thinking, oh, man, I don't want him to puncture that thing and ruin all the milk. But at the same time, you want him to, you know, learn how to, because I want to do. And then, of course, you know, you reach down and you can grab both handles with one hand and, you know. And what's fun about God is that the heaviest thing you and I have to carry, it's like, yeah, I'll use my pinky for that. So it's silly for us to think that God can't handle that. Because he can. My burden's not a burden to God. I don't want to trouble you with my problems, God. Are you kidding? He made the universe. And he keeps it all together. And I think it's 1 Peter 5:7 that says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Don't be afraid to unload your burdens on the Lord, and let him carry them, and let him hold them and walk with them. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden's light. You know, be yoked up with me. What does that mean? Well, you know, the picture of two animals yoked together with their necks pulling a wagon. That's what a yoke is. Jesus says in Matthew 11, at the end of the chapter, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. My yoke's easy, my burden's light. Well, now, let me ask you a question. If Jesus and you are pulling, who's doing most of the work? Right? You know, you wonder how do people get through their day? How do they get through their life? How is it they, because they're yoked up with Jesus, and guess who's doing most of the pulling? They've learned to cast their burden on the Lord, and he'll sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. I think there's some great Christians even among us. And I think the great Christians are the people who have an amazing burden and yet have an amazing ability to carry it. It's because they have learned to cast it on the Lord. And he sustains them. And they're a testimony of that sustaining. And, you know, we pick on Mr. Matheson, but you might think, well, I'm not very good at praying. Don't look at somebody else's prayer and think that's praying. Just look to the Lord and talk to him and learn to call, come and then call, cry, commit, and cast. Just learn to let him have it and trust him and think of him like a heavenly father instead of like a scary God who's too busy to talk to you. Think of him like a heavenly father who is there to listen and to answer your prayer. Think of him the way I heard of a guy one time. He was being visited by the new preacher. And the new preacher came to town, and this lady came to the church, and she said, "Would you visit my daddy? He doesn't ever get out of the house anymore. Hardly gets out of bed. But he'd like to meet you." So the preacher went to his house, went up to his bedroom, and they had small talk for a little while. And then the preacher said, "I see that chair right there next to you. Is that for me?" And he said, "No." He said, that chair is actually a special chair. He said, "Would you mind closing the door? I want to tell you this story." He said, "I've always had a hard time praying until our old preacher told me that what I should do is just pretend that God's sitting in the chair and I'm just talking to him. And so I do it. Now, I don't even let my daughter see me do it because she'll think I'm nuts if she sees me talking to an empty chair. But that's how I've learned how to pray. And so when I talk to the Lord, I talk to this imaginary person in this chair, knowing I'm talking to God. It just helps me to think that way." He said, "Pastor, do you think I'm nuts?" He said, "No." He said, "I think that's a great way to learn and to think about talking to the Lord, is just visualizing him sitting right there talking to you." And that's how you and I should be with prayer. We should just talk to the Lord like we talk to one another. And we should talk to him, of course, reverently, but we should talk to him personally, just like you would talk to your father in a personal way. By the way, the end of that story, a few weeks later, that dad died. And the daughter came and told the pastor that her father passed away in his sleep, and she wanted him to do the funeral. And the pastor said, "Sure, I'll be glad to do the funeral." And she said, "But I want to tell you, there's something kind of strange about how he passed away. When I found him, he wasn't just laying on his pillow. He had his head leaned over on that chair next to his bed. It was almost like he was just putting his head in God's lap." I mean, that's what prayer is. You're just walking with God. You're just so close to the Lord, it's like you're just on Daddy's lap. And that's how it should be. I mean, he knows that you have issues, but he wants to hear you ask. He wants to hear you request those issues and say, "Hey, Lord, I don't even know all that I should be praying for, because I got a feeling you got more information on me than I do. But here's what I do know, and so I'm asking you to help me with this, and I'm asking you to help me with this. And maybe I'm crying about this, and maybe I'm just casting it on you because I don't even know how to handle it. I don't even know how to carry it. But I'm going to commit it to you, and I'm going to trust you and take my hands off of it, and I'm just going to keep coming to you." And here's what I believe. I believe that someone like that who is right with the Lord, trying to be right with the Lord, just wanting to please him and wanting to just do what he asks us to do, I got a feeling he wants to bless you. I got a feeling he wants to answer your prayer. I got a feeling he wants to sustain you. Because he doesn't want us to be bad advertisements for him. And so I want to encourage you to just use this time in your life right now to be praying more, to be calling out to him, to be coming to him in the first place instead of going everywhere else. Come to him. Call on him. Cry out to him. Commit it to him. And then cast those heavy loads upon him, and don't bend or break in the load. Let him be in charge. Let him meet your need. And then when all the prayers start to get answered, brag on him. Make sure you remember to tell everybody who it is that's doing it and who it is that's sustaining you. Let's close in prayer tonight. Lord, we thank you for the word. Thank you for opportunity to pray. There's a lot of people out there that don't really have someone to pray to. They don't even know you. Help us to really get to know you in prayer, to talk to you about our things that hurt us. Help us to stop trying to handle it ourselves, but to commit it to you and let you have it all and to let go of it and let you be in charge. Those heavy loads that come upon us, help us to cast them on you. Help us to cry out when we don't even know what to say. Just cry out to you and let you be there to hear us. Help us to ask and call out, and help us not to be too proud to come. Thank you for the access we have. Thank you for the opportunity we have to pray. Help us not to waste it. Help us to learn to be better at praying. In Jesus' name, amen.